Get ready to transform how you communicate and market, not only in business, but in your life. This is Marketing Matters. For more information on today's show and other topics, visit ryansowers.com. Here's your host, best-selling author and national speaker, Ryan Sowers.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another Marketing Matters with Ryan Sowers, powered by Art and Gwinnett Magazine. We are broadcasting live on the End Results Radio Network inside the Perimeter Roofing Studio from the Country in the Suites by Razzin Hotel in beautiful Stone Mountain, Georgia. Today, you've got a special guest, a legend in his own mind, even if he won't admit it, the one and only Joey Hamilton. Joey, so glad you're here.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, I was looking up Joey's achievements, and we're going to get into all the stuff he's doing these days. But Joey played, was it 10 years in the Major League Baseball?
Yeah, about 10 years between three different teams. Spent 5 years in San Diego, three in Toronto, and then parts of three more in Cincinnati, which was all really good baseball town. So I was fortunate to be in those three cities.
Yeah, and you were a pitcher, right?
Starting pitcher.
Yeah. So I was looking up his record because I'm a sports geek, and I was looking up, and it's 70-something wins and losses. So you might have said it's no big deal. That's a big deal. Most people don't even make it there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the hard part, they say, is not getting there, which it's extremely tough to get there. But, you know, the ability to stay there is even more of an achievement because being able to do it year after year and do your job is pretty tough.
Yeah. Is it fun watching today's generation of Major League Baseball players, or how do you dissect the difference of what you see versus, you know, a lot of rule changes, of course, but.
Yeah. You know, I was either fortunate or unfortunate, but when I retired, I kind of walked away from it. I didn't watch a whole lot of baseball. It took me probably 7 or 8 years before I started watching some of the playoffs and, you know, really didn't follow a whole lot and followed the teams that I played for, but it's a different game. There's no doubt about that. I have friends, you know, all over social media that really are having a hard time with what's happening. And it's not that I just don't care that much. I just don't follow it as much.
Yeah.
You know, I love playing, but to me, you know, it was kind of boring to watch.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I grew up, you know, you and I are near the same age. We talked about all the stuff. And, you know, you remember the days where you get, well, you grew up in Statesboro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was in Atlanta here. So, but growing up in high school, we would get free tickets, or elementary school, free tickets for the Braves games. We got A's because no one went. You know, they were that bad for that long.
Yep.
And of course, we went through the whole 90s, blah, blah, blah. And then I've started watching more. But to be honest with you, those games started dragging on forever. And then, you know, I'm just saying this is a pet peeve. Every specialist for every pitch, for every inning, for whatever. And I started missing the days of the Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox, you know, long pitchers.
Yeah. And you know, it's amazing. I was talking to somebody the other day, like, if all I had to do was go out and worry about throwing five innings and give the ball up to the bullpen, that would have made life a lot easier.
You probably played a few more years.
Right. I mean, because, you know, when I played, you know, your job was to go out there and give seven or eight innings and then give it to the closer. Then the setup man started evolving a little bit, and it's different, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, I think, four or five guys that threw over 200 innings. And
you don't see much of that at all.
For me, that was the benchmark. If you threw 200 innings, you did your job, regardless of how many wins you had or what your ERA was. If you threw 200 innings, especially in the National League where they hit for you late, you were doing a good job.
That's what I always think. And that's the part, you know, growing up as a kid, I can remember following, and we'll get to real stuff later. We had to reminisce about baseball, but I remember, you know, reading AJC sports sections and, you know, looking at the 280 batter, you know, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, all these stats. So that's a good cleanup hitter or whatever. But the 200, you know, going back to some like, you know, Kevin Millwood and some of those guys in the Braves back there, they were innings eaters, you know, and they workhorses. And you don't, I mean, I don't see many, it kind of, I guess I would say this before we get into the meat, you know, if you're pitching a heck of a game, the sixth or seventh inning, and you get yanked out, I bet you'd be kind of upset.
Yeah. You know, I mean, as a starter, you want to go out there and finish what you start.
Exactly.
And having the ball, nobody likes to give the ball up.
Not when you're pitching good.
No, but you know, like I said, National League was a little different. I mean, you could be up 2-1 or 1-0 or tied and come out of the game and get pinch hit for late. And even though you're still doing your job, your pitch count may be low, but that's just the nature of the game. But yeah, the Braves staff back then was just insane. I mean, they had, you know, three or four, maybe even five guys at a time going out there throwing 200.
It did. It was a time, and you know, now we're back to a different time. But well, let's talk about, so some of your newest things is taking baseball, sports, you know, where does the Marketing Matter show, but we really focus on communications, you know, how do we communicate? And one of the things, you know, you're working, you know, at a strategic level with ownership of Royal Flush Plumbing. Tell us a little bit about this whole Flush Athletics and what's going on there.
Well, you know, he's been trying to get this thing going for a while. And last year, I think, was really the beginning of it. In the way that I met Ryan, as both of our kids, all of his kids and my youngest were enrolled at Providence Christian Academy.
Okay.
So Sean West, who's the athletic director there now, used to be Emory University. And I met him in a Parkview High School baseball golf tournament at Stone Mountain.
Sure.
That they have. Played with Sean, a guy named Buddy Freeland.
And
someone else. But met Sean through them. So he ended up going back to Providence, and where he went to high school.
Okay.
And kind of called me up and asked me if I had any interest of coaching high school baseball. And I said, I think I told him not really. You know, I've done travel ball for a long time, but it's a different breed. So anyways, he wore me down, ended up coaching at Providence. Met Ryan through that relationship.
Because he had kids there.
He had kids there. And, you know, with the beginning of this, the one thing that he really wanted, since nobody was paying for the baseball, mm-hmm. is for them to get private lessons from somebody professional. So mm-hmm. that's where I came into play. He goes, do you want to do some of these lessons with my boys? And I did, because, you know, ultimately I'm an instructor at heart.
Sure.
The coach part followed it. So we started doing that. One thing led to another. He wanted me to help with winter workout. So I ended up going inside and helping him with that. And then he was looking for somebody to run the organization, coach his son's team, the 11-year-old team. And just one thing led to another. I ended up meeting with him and listening to his vision.
Wow.
And you know, seeing what was in his heart. And it was a no-brainer at that point.
Man. You know, and I haven't had a chance to meet him personally. That's on my list, but we got the same first names. That's always a good yeah. start. But no, and we were pleased, you know, talking about Powered by Our Town Gwinnett magazine, to have, if people didn't see it, you can go to ourtowngwinnettonline.com and see Flush Athletics. I think it was February. We have two different editions, the blue edition. Great story. So anyway, now in terms of athletics, from my gathering of this, is that bringing stuff to in a deeper way into the community to allow more kids? Because I'm trying to remember how the story was, giving them an opportunity where it's not cost prohibitive.
Because
it is so expensive. Trust me, in the soccer world, I got probably retired 5 years.
yeah. There's no doubt that the cost is unattainable for some. But the ultimate goal is to dive into the community and get into areas where it benefits the kids, right?
More
than other areas, because a lot of people can afford it and a lot of can't.
Sure.
So the ultimate goal in sponsoring all these is to pour into the community, give kids an opportunity that may not have that chance, and just pour into them.
So are there certain areas you guys, is it more Gwinnett focused? Is it Metro Atlanta focused? Or are you just building in different ways?
Right now, I think it's more Gwinnett. You know, the majority of the tournaments that we play are in this area. We are starting to play some other tournaments that are going to be in Marietta and Cobb County, kind of expanding, you know, our look a little bit. We got some pretty crazy uniforms, right? It's all marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Through,
good show.
Through
the marketing, uniforms. Like Marketing Matter show, that'd be good for it.
That's right. So ultimately, you know, what we're doing is trying to eventually create a model where we can go to other businesses and show them the benefits of mm-hmm. what we're doing as far as the tax write-offs and the visibility and the marketing and all these areas. In addition to being able to help the kids that may not be able to do it.
I thought it, as I was reading it, and you know, I was reading it as the last set of eyes, you know, before it was printed and put out. But I was thinking about that, you know, for other businesses and the model that, you know, you really, as a business, there's such a win-win. You're invested in your community. You can't miss the logo. It's on every piece of apparel.
Every uniform, even our team store where parents buy their by their apparel, you know, we got Royal Flush Plumbing on the nape of the neck.
Sure.
So, you know, we got parents and kids all over Gwinnett representing.
Well, and I mean, the ROI, I used to have a company. One of the things we did at that time is, you know, the items you could sell, you know, coffee cup, whatever, with your name and logo on it. But when you talk about living apparel for kids and that many places and the opposing teams and fans, and, you know, you and I both know today's, certainly, you know, parents are crazy when you're in the competitively, you know, crazy can be good or bad, but depends on the parent, but they're there and a lot of eyeballs on it.
Yeah. Lots of, I mean, we have eight teams. Our oldest team is 16 and they won't play till the summertime. So all of our younger age groups are going right now. We have two teams that are located in Barrow County. So the reach out there is a little bit, but you know, when we all roll up into the park with our purple, yellow, and black on, I mean,
but that's the official logo.
It gets noticed, and that's ultimately what it's about. You have so many people. What's Flush? You know, walking through the grocery store, I had one man walk up to me at the grocery store, and he's like, "Why'd you cut my kid, man?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He came to try out
because you had the Flush on.
Yeah, he came to try out. So he asked me if I was a coach, and I said, "Yeah, I said I kind of oversee the organization." And he's like, "Well, my kid got cut." And I'm like, "I'm sorry, man. Tell him to come back out next year. Don't forget about us."
You know, it's funny you say that. I spend so much of my life when, you know, with different things I do. And I woke up and says, you know, "I love that thing you said." I'm like, "I wrote or what?" You're going to have to be more specific because I can't remember. But, you know, your heart, Joey, and obviously Ryan, you know, the owner, you know, you guys are really investing in the community. You're really investing in the next generation. And you're right. There are a lot of people who could pay for their kid to play four times over. I know a lot of them. And there's a lot of people that have scrapped to try to find a way, you know, to, and there's a lot of people just doing it because they feel like they, you know, the next door neighbor's doing it, you know, and, you know, what we've learned as you get older, you know, you've got to do these things like sports wise, because you love them. I mean, if you're just playing to play because you don't really like it, I always tell people then find something you are passionate about. Mm-hmm. Right. But the number of people I saw in competitive soccer over the years that, you know, they were playing more for their parents than them. By the time they got to be ninth grade, they hated it. They didn't want to do it.
Yeah. And I can certainly see that. And one of the things, you know, we sponsor two tournaments a month. You know, we're not trying to go out and be out there every weekend, sure, every month for 4 months. Kids need a break. We don't want them to get blown
exactly
out or worn out or get tired of it. And, you know, I think we're pretty lucky with the group of parents that we have. As far as not being
over the top.
Good.
Yeah. And that can wear on you. So, you know, and in our generation growing up, I think it was a little different, but I'll ask you, I mean, I'm not even talking about Flush, but the number of practices, I'm going to use soccer world, so we'll keep it away from baseball, that some of these top level clubs want to do it per week. I correlate a lot towards injuries. It's over practicing almost all year round.
It is. You know, over the winter we practice twice a week and, you know, we got a little bit of time off at Christmas time, a little bit of time off at Thanksgiving, and probably practice a little bit more than younger age groups over the winter. A lot of them will take off after the fall and start back up in January, but we wanted to keep them short. It wasn't a whole lot of throwing, you know, everything was indoors. So just reps and fundamentals and things that they need to do to be able to play. You know, one of the things I stress, if you can catch and throw the baseball, you can play this game for a long time.
Right.
You're never going to figure out how to hit. That's just the way it is. But if you can catch and throw, you can enjoy it, and you can play it for a really, really, really long time.
Well, and that's the thing. But you being a professional athlete, you also know not to overdo certain activities. You know, I've seen coaches in different things. They're just overdoing, overthrowing, over whatever. Or in soccer, we see the ACLs. That's what we see over and over and over in females. And, you know, you put people in the turf too much, or you put them in drills that's too much. Don't get me wrong. You got to train hard, but you also got to be smart.
Yeah. And it was funny. We played in a tournament yesterday. It was shortened to a 1 day tournament and played three games and ended up winning the tournament against a pretty tough Norcross team.
Nice.
And the boy that pitched in the second game, he threw 77 pitches, wow, which, you know, early on, try to hold them to around that number, 70, 75 pitches. And he came up to me in the second to the last inning of the championship game. And he's like, I feel like I could throw some more. I said, well, that's great, but you're not going
good
to.
For you. So you set the limit.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the most, one of the important things is keeping these boys healthy so they can play.
I do some teaching at universities, and I've got an athlete in basketball, and he's a redshirt freshman, and he keeps missing class over and over. And I'm told him he has a zero, and he's not yet correlated to mid-major D1 that, you can go on the road, and I get it. You go travel, you know, you play in college baseball, but you still got to do your work. I mean, and I was explaining, like, you can't just turn this in whenever you want. He goes, well, I was traveling. I'm like, not 2 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, well, I get focused more on basketball than I do on school. I'm like, well, let me tell you, people I know that were professional athletes, they would say, you need to pass your classes, at least pay attention, you know, when you learn something.
That's right. You know, I always joke, you know, what my major was in college was eligibility.
Exactly.
Right? I did what it took.
For me, yeah.
Because I knew what I was there for.
Sure.
And
well, you were a first round draft pick, right?
I was. Yeah.
So I'm bragging on you.
Yeah. And made sure that I did what I needed to do. And we also had an attendance policy. I mean, we used to take attendance sheets around. This is in college.
Yeah.
To get it to all of our teachers to sign off.
Sure, yeah. If
every class we missed, we ran 5 miles for one
exactly.
single class.
And I'm not naming the university, but there's some of them that are fantastic. And they're in the front row, by the way. Those football players or whatever, I'm naming different sports. And there's a couple of them that I'm like, what are you? Does your coach know you're doing this? And I guarantee that. As a matter of fact, I said, unless you got some NIL deal I don't know about, because they're like a redshirt freshman, you need to be here. And they, sure enough, they were there in 5 minutes. But yeah. My daughter is just signed soccer for Tennessee Tech. I was telling you about. They said the same thing. You're supposed to sit in the front of the class. You get in at 3 a.m. We expect you to be at class. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like that. It's the guy that's trying to teach them. It's that they're held to a higher standard.
They are held to a higher standard. And I think it's beneficial for college athletes, especially coming out of college and looking for jobs. Employers know that to succeed as a college athlete, you have to have a pretty daggone good work ethic. And you have to be responsible. You have to be able to take care of your business. And you know, I know with my oldest son who graduated in 2021, you know, coming out looking for jobs, he got a pretty good job. They knew he was an athlete, and he's done well with it. So,
exactly, Joe. You know, and they have the work ethic, which you have to have if you're going to succeed, and then the time management.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't, like, I mean, you did it. You can go to all the practices and the classes and this. I love to hire people that were great competitive athletes because I know what I'm going to get. They're not afraid to say, hey, that wasn't good enough. You need to, because they've been coached hard.
Yeah. And the other part of the organization, the Flush Athletics, is that if you go through our program, right, and choose not to go to college, mm-hmm. then we can guarantee them a six-figure salary after an apprenticeship, which can take, you know, 8 months to 16 months after an apprenticeship, which is another cool thing about the
I remember that company, now. Thanks for saying that.
Is that, yeah, because we know what we're going to get with these kids because we've had them coming through the organization.
You've had like an intern for like 8 years.
It is an internship, basically, if they choose to go that route. And,
that's cool.
You know, there's so many things that can be taught through sports and through baseball, specifically for me, because it's set up around failure more than anything else.
Yep.
That if you can do that and the lessons and the life lessons that are taught through this game, it can make you a highly employable person.
I love it. I remember that now. I'm so glad you said that. And that's something I love that y'all are taking the leadership role. I mean, not just leading, you're doing it. But there's other companies maybe in different industries could offer the same thing, because I chose to get my doctorate in leadership because I did want to teach that, you know, that was the entrance fee.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to be a first round pick, but it took me forever to do this, but I knew if I wanted to go in and make a real difference with real world experience, my entry fee, like you being a former, you know, professional was, I've got 30 years real world experience, but I check all the boxes for the other. And once you're in the club, you're in the club. So now I can go in and say, you know, they say, Dr. Sowers, did we miss anything in class? And I'm like, no. And I, for an hour and a half, I said absolutely nothing that'll benefit you. You know, and they went, what do you mean? I said, you need to ask a classmate what you meant. You need to be here. And if you don't want to be here, that's on you. Mm-hmm. But my point is, you spend enough time, because some of this time I've gotten to learn, you know, undergraduates, graduate students, and spend time with them. And I kind of have a feel for if I was hiring somebody and they wanted to go that route, I'd want them on my team, or I wouldn't want them on my team.
Yeah.
And then you've got some people that I would say, why are you even in college? I mean, what did go to trade school? I mean, you know, and I'd say for a lot of people going to tech school or whatever, that's a good plan.
It is a good plan. And, you know, my brother works for Technical College System of Georgia, and I set up a meeting with him to go down and see how we could get integrated into the tech schools, because there's not a whole lot of plumbing. So we got pointed in the direction of PHCC and met with them and found some avenues and opportunities where we can, you know, try to set up a pipeline for us to get, you know,
people that are coming out of there,
apprentices, because we could have twice the work that we have now if we had the right employees.
Well, and then you train them in y'all's ways and train them in that. But this is, man, if I think as a marketing guy, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what's the website? That's true. Where up at pottytrain.com?
Pottytrain.com.
I mean, Ari, I just noticed that, but that is good. That is very good. And then we'll come back for contact thing. But the Fleshlight Athletics, not only is a philanthropic thing, not only is it pouring into the community and other things in, you know, in marketing wise, it also allows you to know, you know, hey, some of these guys are not going to keep playing baseball forever. They may want to be employees. You're also helping them with their lives. And you guys have worked hard together to create a model that other companies, maybe in a totally different industry, could follow.
Correct. And that's the ultimate goal. You know, if we can reach other companies and broaden the spectrum of all these kids being helped, especially in our community, then that's, you know, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because it's like I said, any of my friends, and again, I didn't do baseball, I had 3 daughters, but we did the higher level soccer. I mean, it's not inexpensive.
No, it's not.
I mean, I'll just
definitely leave it not. And we have one family who's in the organization, and he's one of my assistant coaches, and he's super passionate. He has 3 kids. Huh. He has a 13-year-old in our organization. He has an 11-year-old on my team, and he's got a 10-year-old. I mean, just think of that bill with 3 kids.
And so, mine was just spread out a little bit more, but I was thinking the other day. So if you remember GSA soccer park over there, my youngest, I started coaching her when she was 4, she's 24, and my oldest. And so she'll be 25 late this year. And my youngest, still, you know, she's a junior in high school. So the time I'm done, we'll have had almost 21 straight years of East Hendon, you know, the level of that. I got to be honest with you. I can't remember which one was which. But the thing I look back now, here's what I do see. The work ethic, the discipline, the self, what's the word, confidence, mm-hmm. the grit, the determination, and the everybody doesn't get a trophy. They even in medical school, my daughter said, I don't understand how these medical school, I mean, you know, students are complaining that this exam is not fair. They should get more time. I said, any tier you go to, there's been other people, you know, that were, you know, you probably played college ball with, Joey, and I know you're not going to brag on yourself, but they were an 18th round draft pick. They were a 17th round draft pick. Well, you were a first round draft pick. There's tiers in everything.
Sure.
So I told her, I said, quit worrying about it. I said, when you get to your residency, your cream's going to rise to the top. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, people can complain and have a problem with everything, even if they're a doctor. And I see it in all levels. And, you know, there's just nothing's going to replace that hard work.
Yeah, you're right. And the draft has even changed with baseball. You know, it's been limited to rounds starting, I guess, with the COVID year. It used to go.
Oh, yeah.
It used to go 70, 80 rounds until nobody wanted anyone anymore.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
So now it's, you know, in baseball, as a high pick, basically all it means is you get more opportunities to fail, not more opportunities to succeed, but more to fail because they have invested in you a little bit more than your 10th round pick.
Yeah. You slot them more money and they want you to.
That's right. But you know, ultimately anyone that gets drafted probably has the tools to do something. It's just a matter of what they do with it. Right.
100%. So what do you do? How do you, with these fans, you play the major league level. I mean, you know, you had 10 years to, the biggest you can get in professional baseball. Do you have to sometimes, you know, I'm sure you're a passionate, you know, guy, you can't go to that level, not be, but do you have to tell parents or coaches or just take a deep breath sometimes with expecting to be major leaguers when they're 14?
I have.
You know what I mean?
You know, in the organization that I was with before this, I did the college recruiting and communication for them. And the toughest part about that job was being honest with families where their kids slot, because all of them think they're great. Oh, yeah. And all of them think they're D1. And the realistic part of it is
not.
Most are, you know, 0.5%
right.
are. That's it.
Right.
So it's tough. But again, you know, our families, I've been pretty fortunate, you know, as far as not having to deal with that and, you know, communication with me. I'm pretty sure that, you know, on the baseball field, I can justify anything that I do better than a parent can.
Yeah, I think you
can. So I don't get any of that, which is nice. But, you know, everybody wants their kids to play. But, you know, we've been good with it with Flush.
Well, I'll tell you. So
of course, we're really, really young, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're building something. And I can't be more proud. And from the first time you and I talked to seeing it come to fruition to, you know, then I was thinking the other day of, you know, we were doing shows and I said, I need to get Joey in here to get him on the whole podcast because
yeah.
This model, you know, this isn't limited. This is live right now, but this is not limited to, you know, a 10-mile radius, this could be somebody reaching out to you in another state, another here.
Of course.
And that's the beautiful thing. You know, we've got the different types of mediums. I'm like, well, this story is very applicable to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was really excited when you called me up to do this, you know, not only to promote what we're doing, but to have that broad spectrum of an audience to get it out to.
Well, we're going to get it out like we do. We get it on network, and then it's, you know, I've been doing a lot of driving recently. And if you notice, there's a podcast now and any directory, anything you want to listen to.
Yeah.
So when you get under this kind of stuff, there could be a company listening in Columbus, Georgia says, we'd love to get involved with doing something like that.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
If we're all in the mindset, I always say, of you know, there's enough to go around for everybody to help. Mm-hmm. And getting kids, I think, engaged in athletic programs that require discipline and hard work, and you know, everybody didn't get a trophy. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
From what I'm seeing, is imperative.
I agree. And the more kids that we can get involved, the better. You know, keeps them out of trouble. Keeps them off the streets, roaming. You know.
Well, you know, when you have that accountability and you got to be a game at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to warm up and whatever, you know, you're going to make better choices because, you know, you want to play.
Of course. And we have, you know, attendance requirements that we have put in place with the families and the kids.
They have to commit to.
Yeah. You know, we're committing a lot of our time. The company's committing a lot of money. And
sure.
We want them to honor that.
That's so awesome. Now, all right. So I'm just going to ask you, so what's your bet? Let's use your professional career of baseball. What's one of the things that most people would never think about that's the biggest, you know, pain? Was it traveling or whatever for professional baseball?
Well, the everybody does see the glory,
right?
The money, you know, the fame if you get to that point, but it is very stressful, you know. You're basically away from your home 8 months out of the year.
Yeah.
You have two homes. You got to maintain a home during the season. You got to have, you know, your home base, and the stress that it can put on people and their families and is immense. And, you know, the number is staggering for, I know baseball, but probably a lot of former athletes where their marriages don't survive, you know, the end of their playing days. And it's just tough. It's like you're away from somebody for so long, and then all of a sudden you're 24/7.
And it's just a hard adjustment.
It's a hard adjustment, and people don't see that. But I'm not going to lie. You know, it's pretty dang cool to go out there and do that, right? But, you know, the travel, the tear on your family, not seeing your kids, not being able to see first steps or a school play,
right,
or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, people don't see that, but you miss a lot.
Well, I love listening to sports talk drive because I've been driving in and out of town a lot, but we forget, you know, every athlete's a human, you know, I mean, I don't forget. I've interviewed enough people for years, but my point is, you know, that separation, that 8 months a year, I would bet you, since you were a Georgia guy, when you came to Atlanta, you ever play any games in Atlanta?
Oh yeah.
I'm sure you had a million people wanting tickets, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I left 85 one time was the highest. And now players got to pay for their own tickets.
Oh, is that right?
So they're cut down, I'm sure.
But you know, that was the thing, or the hometown, you know, when Francoeur, Olson, you know, whatever, you know, when you first come here and every person, you know, in the world wants to come talk to you, you're doing your job. And I think it's hard to remember, you know, yes, you're an athlete, but you also are doing your job.
Yeah, that. And it has to be scaled down, right?
Right.
You can't make everyone happy. You can't tell everybody yes. It's just impossible because it just becomes worse. But I couldn't imagine.
With the tech, you didn't have text back then, did you?
It was coming in.
It was coming
the Blackberries.
Yeah, the Blackberries. Yeah,
you know, but you know, I couldn't imagine somebody like Frenchie or Matt Olson who came here, successful here, coming back and playing here.
Sure.
Not only the pressure from everybody that you know, but just pressure in general to succeed.
Yeah,
right. Like you're in front of your hometown people, and that would be tough.
I remember when I had Olson on a show earlier when he was out in Oakland, and then when he got traded, his mother had just retired, teaches the same place my wife does. And I don't think, I mean, that pressure of replacing Freddie Freeman at first in Atlanta from where you are, I can only imagine what it was. And I heard him in sports talk say in the second year, he felt like he'd been there forever.
Yeah.
You know, but first year, you know, you're replacing one of the favorite guys in the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, he was the face of the franchise after Chipper left. So, you know, he did a real good job doing it.
Yeah, he did. He did. Well, all right. Well, best way. So if they want to find out more about, first of all, Royal Flush Plumbing, great company, recommended to anybody. But we can find that. Is that found under PottyTrain.com?
PottyTrain.com.
I'm trying to laugh.
It really.
I'm just trying to. So it's so cute. I love it.
You're going to remember that.
Right? You do.
I mean, that's the whole point of it.
You literally talking to Mike. This is the stuff I think of all day long. So I give it an A+.
It does. It has Flush Athletics. It has Royal Flush Plumbing. One thing that we didn't talk about, which I'll mention, is the academy that we have for our apprentices, right? Basically taking everything that they've learned over the last 20-something years and putting it into an academy and trying to, you know, train super plumbers. And that's a really cool thing because skills trades need more bodies.
Oh, they do. And Royal Flush, how far metro Atlanta-wise do you get? Or is it more Gwinnett-focused or all over the city? Or
we just put a branch in Fayetteville. So,
oh, wow.
So technically, you know, it's all over Georgia above Macon.
Okay. All right.
Above Macon. Because our plumbers, they keep their vans at their home. We don't have one place that we dispatch from. So
smart business model.
So we can, you know, even up into Greenville, South Carolina, you know, that area.
So if anybody is looking for a great plumbing company and great people, I mean, you got Joey and then Ryan, one of the owners, investing in the community, doing a great job at PottyTrained.com. I keep trying to laugh, but it's that good marketing that I keep saying it. And then, of course, you guys got Instagram. I'm looking at Royal_Flush_Plumbing.
Mm-hmm. Facebook, Royal Flush Plumbing, okay. Flush Baseball.
Yep. Flush Baseball, okay. And then I remember doing this myself when I tagged someone because my marketing person was out, but nice social media presence, great company. And as we kind of come to a close, Joey, any things we didn't cover that we need to make sure we say, or did we any last thoughts?
No, I think you did a pretty good job. You know, we just want to get this motto out here, have people listening to it, hear about it, think about it, if we can plant it in the business owner's brain and have them, you know, try to create something similar, then that's what we've done.
And if they want to reach out, let's say a business is listening to this today, wherever, you know, they're in South Georgia or Greenville or whatever. Is there a particular person, you, whoever, who should they reach out
to? Yeah, absolutely. Reach out to me and, you know, and then we'd sit down with the CEO and, you know, let them know how it's done and what we're doing and an idea of cost and stuff like that. You know, it's not cheap, but it's all, you know, most of it's tax deductible. And even more than that is helping out.
Getting exposure. It's win-win. And then it would, and I won't say it here, but if they want to do that, should they email the company or would they email you or were they?
They email me.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll list it, but I got your email. I'll put it in the show notes. So when people listen to it, if they have a question, they can just ask you.
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure to be here. This is my first time.
Well, you're a pro. You know, I'm sure you had a mic in front of you once or twice, even though you won't. Yeah, I figure so. All right, let me close this out. Thanks for tuning in to another Marketing Matters and then Results Radio Network, folks. We are inside the Perimeter Roofing Studio from the Country Inn & Suites by Radisson. Again, you can listen to all past shows, all our other shows. Just go to endresultswithaz.com. Hit the current show button, current shows button, or just go 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. For my special guest, Joey Hamilton. Thanks again, Joey. We had a great show today, so make sure you listen and share with your friend. And folks, this has been another Marketing Matters. Until next time, make your marketing matter.
This has been Marketing Matters with Ryan Sowers. For even more advice, visit ryansowers.com. That's ryansowers.com. This has been Marketing Matters with Ryan Sowers. For even more advice, visit ryansowers.com. That's ryansowers.com.